you're a psychologist in South Carolina, you're probably going to have a lot of calls Monday morning. Clemson just got worn out by Georgia Tech, 28-6. Of course, I'm an equal opportunity offender. It appears South Carolina's going to go down too. Right now they're down 17-10, and Florida is on, let's see, timeout Florida. 3:40 left in the fourth quarter, down 17-10. Florida's on like the 16-yard line. So going to need a lot of tissues and a lot of psychiatric couches Monday morning for those guys. Oh, man, last week we were listening to the music in the woods. As of last night, the only sound in the woods I could hear were my teeth chattering. It was cold out there. You know, she's probably listening, and I have a great one, so she'll laugh when I say it's colder than a mother-in-law's kiss outside. It's so cold that I had to finally put on socks. I don't do that until it gets cold. Anyway, my name is Roger Metz, and this is Woods and Water, South Carolina, a live Saturday radio show dedicated to our South Carolina outdoors. You can tune in on your FM dial at 94.5, download the free Conservative Talk app, or go to the station website, Conservative Talk 94.5, and click the Listen Live link on the right side of the page. This show is also on Facebook, where I'll put up weekly calendar of events, the pictures, videos, whatever else I can find. That's Facebook, Woods and Water SC. Tag your pictures on Instagram at hashtag Woods and Water SC Radio, and you can see more and listen to the weekly podcast on the website. That's woodsandwatersc.com. If you want to call on the show today, the number is 235-9405 in the area, or 877-235-9405 anywhere else. Cold weather. What defect in the outdoorsman's genes makes us feel alive when the temperature drops to the freezing mark? I know I rushed down to the deer stand yesterday afternoon because I just knew the deer would be out in this cold weather. What a dummy. These are southern deer, and they probably had the good sense to bed down early and leave us hunters shivering in the trees, because I saw nothing last night. And I got in the car to come home, and my wife said there were some in the backyard. So, who knows? Yeah, I'll be at it again this week, probably just a little bit after this show is over at 4. What about you? Will you be hanging on the side of a tree or sitting in a duck blind next Saturday or hiking up Table Rock? Or making s'mores around the new fire pit in the backyard? What is it about cold weather that gets us going? Speaking of s'mores, we had a couple of extra young ladies at our house last night, and they put a real dent in the bag of marshmallows, packages of Honey Graham crackers, and Nestle chocolate bars. Making them in the fireplace. Yeah, I had one, just one, but I make mine bigger so I don't have to make seconds and take the grief that comes around with it. I got to apologize to the veterans out there because I did not say anything about Veterans Day last Saturday. So better late than never. Thank you to all our veterans, past, current, and future. I have a funny little story from The Dude. It's a little newspaper down in Beaufort, which I hope will make you smile and think of our military veterans. The story goes like this. Dear Harold, two South Carolina Highway Patrol officers were conducting speed enforcement on Highway 21 just north of Beaufort, South Carolina. One of the officers was using a handheld radar device to check speeding vehicles approaching the town of Beaufort near the Marine Corps Air Station Beaufort. The officers were suddenly surprised when the radar gun began reading 300 miles per hour and climbing. The officer attempted to reset the radar gun, but it would not reset, and then it suddenly turned off. Just then, a deafening roar over the palmetto treetops on Highway 21 revealed that the radar had, in fact, locked onto a U.S. Marine Corps F/A-18 Super Hornet, which was engaged in low-flying exercise. Back at the South Carolina Highway Department headquarters in Columbia, the patrol captain fired off a complaint to the U.S. Naval Base Commander at MCAS Beaufort for shutting down his equipment. The reply came back in true U.S. Marine Corps style. Dear Captain, thank you for your letter. You may be interested to know that the tactical computer in the F/A-18 Hornet had detected the presence of and subsequently locked onto your hostile radar equipment and automatically sent a jamming signal back to it, which is why it shut down. Furthermore, an air-to-ground missile aboard the fully armed aircraft had automatically locked onto your equipment's location. Fortunately, the Marine pilot flying the Hornet recognized the situation for what it was, quickly responded to the missile system alert status, and was able to override the automated defense system before the missile was launched to destroy the hostile radar position on the side of Highway 21 north of Beaufort. The pilot suggests you cover your mouth when swearing at them. Since the video systems in these jets are very high-tech, Sergeant Johnson, the officer holding the radar gun, should have his holster looked at. The snap is broken. Signed, Colonel Sanders. Dear Colonel, thank you to your soldiers for your service to this great country, dude. We love our Marines here in Beaufort. Hoorah and Semper Fi. So, for our veterans, thank you for your service. If you're ever down in Beaufort, you need to pick up a copy of the Dude. It is it's just a little newspaper. Usually some pretty good stories about the coast, Beaufort, and that sort of area, and a whole, almost like 2 pages of funnies like that one. Always try to get one on down there. Let's see what's on the calendar events for this week. IHE USA, International Hunter Education Association USA, is having a hunter education student essay. College. I'm going through this in my house. That's why I'm having brain lock on this one. Scholarships. There we go. It's right there in front of me. Award qualifications. One hunter education student will be selected who has submitted a 500-word essay to his, her hunter education instructor on the following topic. What do you think hunter education means to the heritage and future of hunting worldwide? It's a $5,000 future leader in conservation scholarship. It's for under the age of 18. It's due. The due date is December 31st, 2014. And if you go load the form down, I've got it right here. It's just 2 pages. What do you think hunter education means? And in this day of college tuition, $5,000 will help a lot. So if you've taken the hunter education course, go to it. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources actually sent this to me. You can find more at the IHE USA website and the form. We've got banquets. The Edgefield chapter, the local South Carolina Edgefield chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation is having their banquet on November the 20th. Old Kendall Mill in Edgefield, South Carolina. Your email contact, mjones@nwtf.net. That's National Wild Turkey Federation in Edgefield on November the 20th. Ducks Unlimited, the 2014 Clemson University Oyster Roast Sweet 16 DU chapter is having their banquet on Thursday, November 24th also, 6 to 9 p.m. Doors open at 6. This is at the T. Ed Garrison Cattle Complex Sales Arena in Pendleton. Clemson student tickets, 35. Adult tickets, 50. Online ticket sales end November the 17th, so get those tickets bought now. We talked to Rod Goodall about Riley's Catch. Just wanted to bring you up to date. Life of Impact Leadership Experience, November 21st through the 23rd. He sent me a text this morning and said this actually will be a scored BASS high school tournament event now. So this, if you're in the high school BASS fishing tournament series, this is now a scored a points event. So it's a good thing for you to go participate in. Team building adventure, new friendships, creativity, critical thinking, collaboration, communication skills, mentoring by skilled outdoor professionals. I know that a bunch of the college bass fishermen are going to be involved in this. $175 for the weekend, overnight cabins, meals provided, archery, zipline, rifle, kayak and canoeing, and of course the Riley's Cup fishing tournament. You're interested in that, it would be a good thing to get involved. Coastal Conservation Association of South Carolina is having a banquet. It's the Lowcountry Banquet, November 22nd at Beaufort Academy in Beaufort, 6 o'clock. It's $60 for a single, $85 for a couple. You can go to the CCA website and get more information there. From the South Carolina State Parks, building a park the CCC way, the old no jobs, no money. People want to swim, so let's go build a park. This will be held up at the Parris Mountain State Park on the 22nd. There is a registration deadline 1 day before. For those of you who knew what about the CCC camps, this would be a good thing to let your kids experience. We got just one more. We'll wait till we get back from the other side of the break. So hang in there with me. One more, and then I've got a few big events coming up next year I want you to put on your calendars now. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Huey Lewis in the news. That will get you up and moving. Just good, uplifting stuff. Back in Time is another good one. That was right off the... See, there, I'm starting to sing again, Dave. You can't do that to me because I will lose everybody who has ever tuned into this show if I start singing. Oh, me. The final item on the calendar event for this week is the Battle of Blackstock's anniversary celebration. You know, I was out at a client's office the other day, and I was talking to the client's daughter, and she was talking about things to do with her kids and that sort of thing. And I said, you know, this is why I do this type calendar event, because she listens to the show, and she said, you put out some good stuff. So if you listen to this thing, by all means, go and do it. And this is why it's up here for you moms, schedule out as a family outing. I know some of this stuff is more hunting oriented, but it's, and that's a part of it. But these type things right here, it's history. Go do it. So the Battle of Blackstock's anniversary celebration of being Clinton. On November the 20th, 1780, General Thomas Sumter and his men fought Lieutenant Colonel Banastre Tarleton, other known as Bloody Tarleton, in a small but well-trained force of British soldiers at the Blackstock's plantation in modern-day Union County. So November the 23rd, Musgrove Mill State Historic Site will remember this important event with the Battle of Blackstock's anniversary commemoration. You're going to tour the battlefield with historian and Blackstock's expert Michael Burgess at 2:30 p.m. You'll meet at Musgrove Mill and then caravan to the battlefield. Neat little thing. So Musgrove Mill is over in Clinton, November 23rd, 1:30 to 3:30. It's free. So go do it. Like, as always, I will be adding these to the calendar on the Facebook page. As always, I have the event date and website link for each event. But please check a few days or the day before you go just to make sure things haven't changed. The numbers you want to call on the show are 235-9405 and 877-235-9405. Love to hear from you today. As I said before the break, there are a couple of big things I want you to put down on your calendar for next year now, because we are getting loaded up with big events. And a lot of them happen every year. But here they go. The 33rd Annual Southeastern Wildlife Expo in Charleston, South Carolina. It's February 13th through the 15th. On their website, you can get your tickets online. If you get them online now through November the 30th, you can save 15%. Well, the discount code is SEWESD. And that's at SEWE.com, SEWE.com. Always a great one. It is held right downtown. They're around the College of Charleston. I know they take up some of the parks there, and they have dog demos and whatever else. I know a bunch of people that are going to be displaying there this year. Always a good time. Charleston in February is normally pretty nice. I have seen it really cold down there. This year could be a year when it's going to be cold, but it's always a great thing to do. 33 years they've been having it down there. So put it on your calendar now. That's Valentine's weekend. What a better thing for you to take your wife off now after hunting season is going to be over. She's put up with us for 2 or 3 months now. Take her to Charleston for the weekend. You can still get in some good hunting-oriented things, but with a little more artsy flair that she'll enjoy. Also next year, the Geico Bassmasters Classic is coming up. That's February the 20th through the 22nd. So the next weekend, that will be held right down the road here on Lake Hartwell. Better yet, the expo will be over at the TD Convention Center, and the weigh-ins will be held at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. If that name still seems strange to you, it's okay to say the Bilo Center, right here in Greenville. How was it? The Lake Hartwell Bassmasters Classic, I think in 2009, Jordan was with me and it was cold, but we had a great time. Went there and went to the expo and went to the weigh-in. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember off the top of my head who won it. But this is a good event and a big time. I mean, you know, 2009 was the last time, 6 years ago. So when these things come to town, make your plans to go to them. The 31st Annual Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, March 27th through the 29th at the State Fairgrounds in Columbia. I talked to Captain Robert McCullough a few weeks ago. They are doing some renovations to some of the buildings. In fact, they tore some buildings down, and they'll have some new venues next year when you go down there. I'm not exactly sure where the National Archery and School Program tournament will be, but that will be going on at the same time. So if you have kids or nieces, nephews, that sort of thing in the Archery and School Program, it'd be a good time to go see them shoot in the state tournament and go check out everything the Palmetto Sportsman Classic has to offer. The brochure just came out, and for you fans of The Deadliest Catch, looks like Captain Wild Bill Wacroski will be here. You know, I think of all the guys on the show, except possibly Phil Harris, who died a couple of years ago, Bill's probably the top guy. You know, you got Bill, Phil, and Sig Hansen, salt of the earth people. But Wild Bill will be there. A couple other people will be there, and then, of course, all the dog training and deer scoring and hands-on stuff for the kids. All of it will be there. Make your plans to go there. The FLW Collegiate Fishing Championships will be in Columbia on Lake Murray, April 17th through the 19th. We had Geddes Brandon on here a few weeks ago talking about it. I'm going to assume there's going to be something at the Expo Center downtown Columbia during that weekend. However, right now all I know is that the weigh-ins will be at the baseball stadium. The anglers from USC will be defending their home waters, and it should be a fun couple of days on the water. Like I said, it's going to be busy over Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and then we're off and running. So get ahead, put these events on your calendar for next year. Don't miss them, and do it now. Hey, the ducks are here. Let me tell you, they're here. I ran up when I went hunting yesterday evening. I have to cross a lake to get to where I hunt. And I ran up. Now, these are estimates. Bear with me. Hunters always like to round up. I probably ran up between 35 and 40 ringnecks, 25 to 30 wood ducks, maybe 15 or 20 mallards. I mean, there were a bunch of ducks down there. And normally I don't see that until late December, early January in those numbers. You know, the wood ducks are always around. You have the resident mallards that are hanging around and that sort of thing. But the ringnecks have showed up really early, which tells me the migration is already on. Ducks Unlimited has been bombarding me with emails. The migration is on. Keep up with it on the DU website. I haven't done it, but I can tell you that the ducks are here, at least just a little bit south of Greenville. Normally, I'd be excited. I got my waders out last night, and some little critter has chewed about a coffee saucer size hole in my waders. Just, oh man. So anyway, I really don't feel like going in another $200 for a pair of waders. So the old fly fishing waders may be put into service, which is really neat. I don't get the neoprene waders anymore. I always get those breathable waders because early in the year, you don't burn up, and they have these nice pants called fleece wader pants, which I also wear when I deer hunt, that work great in a pair of breathable waders. So, just talk about taking the wind out of your sails. You go home and there's a big old hole in your waders. And trust me, it's not in a place you want to get wet. So, anyway, the ducks are here. I'm going to take a little bit of time here. Talk about duck season coming in. Got a few little stories that I'd like to share with you. So first of all, let's look over some regulations. These came out, actually one that I missed. It actually hit the news wire Thursday was that today was the youth duck hunting day in South Carolina. And I said, well, that's not, you know, that's why send that out this late? Well, I just happened to look back and it was actually released on, September the 12th in the overall late season migratory bird regulations newsletter. So anyway, I can't blame them, although I wish I would have looked at this one a little more up until now. So anyway, for all you youth who are out there today, hope you had a good time. Hope there were some birds around for you. So duck season, the late season, which we're in now, November the 22nd to November 29th. That's next Saturday. Opens up. Then the split goes out, comes back in December the 6th, all the way to January the 25th. Half hour before sunrise until sunset. Bag limit 6, including no more than 4 mallards. And you can have up to 2 hens, 2 pintails, 1 fulvous whistling duck, 1 black-bellied whistling duck, 3 wood ducks, 2 redheads, 1 camp, redheads, those are not redheaded women, those are redheaded ducks, 1 canvasback, 2 scalp, and either 1 black duck or 1 model duck. I was telling somebody I used to go chase redheads down in the Laguna Madre down at South Padre Island, and I got some really strange looks. I had to clarify those were ducks. That's why I did it for y'all. They have a section in here, Megansers. Don't know anybody would want to shoot a Meganser, so I'm going to skip that one. Coots. I would normally scoot this, but one time I was duck hunting down in Louisiana. Had an oil guy from Houston in the blind with us, and of course it was dark, and on the Catahoula down in Louisiana, I mean, you go out across that lake and the coots are just like, wow, they're just everywhere. So we were sitting in the blind, the coot started flying around, and he got his gun out, and he goes, hit hot dog. He said, here comes practice. Oh man. So anyway, coots, yeah, you can shoot coots. And I actually have some people down along the coast who know how to fix coot pretty good. Not something I'd attempt, but they do it pretty good. Canadian geese, the late season dates, November 22nd and November the 29th, December 6th to January 25th. And then you got that late or early year season, February 8th to February 23rd. Again, half hour before sunrise till sunset. Bag limit of 5. Can't have more than 2 white-fronted geese. Blues and snows and brants are in there too. Pretty much the same dates as the duck season, except for brant. It's December 25th to January 25th. I mean, December 27th, January, the only departure there. And here it is, November 15th, 2014, the State Youth Day. Only youth who are under 17. So I missed that one. Sorry about that. January 31st and February the 7th of 2015 are the Federal Youth Days. Only hunters 15 years of age or younger may hunt waterfowl on these days. The youth must be accompanied by an adult, at least 18 years of age or older. The adult is not allowed to carry a gun or hunt and does not have to be licensed. Regular duck season limits will apply. Shooting hours for late season duck hunting are uniform statewide. Hunters should take notice that DNR law enforcement officers will pay special attention to late shooting violations, which is, I think they ought to pay attention to early shooting violations too. It says here, check local newspapers. You can also go to the Department of Natural Resources page and they have those, the times in and out. I mean, you know, depending on what zone you're in South Carolina, you add minutes or subtract minutes to get to official shooting light. Another little article here, more than 1.5 million federal duck stamps, and the duck stamp turned 80 this year and has contributed a lot to habitat, both restoration and protection. But in 2011, which was the last year these statistics were available, 1.5 million federal duck stamps were sold, equating to more than $20 million going to wetlands, habitat, and conservation. And there has been some talk about raising it. A duck stamp is just $15. It hasn't been raised in forever. And they're trying to get it raised. Personally, I just buy 2 every year. I figure it's worth $30 to me to have protection for the waterfowl that I enjoy going after. And that's just another example or fact in this case that hunters give money, more money, to the management and preservation of our natural resources and game populations and pretty much anybody out there. And yeah, we spend a lot of money, but it's for a good thing. Even though we enjoy shooting and eating, you know, the deer, the turkeys, the ducks and all that, we make sure that there is plenty of money there. So those, not only the habitats there for those animals, but the health of those populations is there for the long term, not just for us, for our kids, for the next generations coming along behind us. I got the 10 commandments of public duck hunting coming up on the other side for you first time hunters or pretty much anybody on public land. Something you need to think about, listen to, think about, and put into practice. See you on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Dave chimed in over the break, and maybe only half the state will need psychiatric help Monday because Florida and South Carolina were tied up 17-17. Now they're in overtime. Florida made a field goal in their first possession in overtime. South Carolina is driving now on their attempt. So maybe only half the state will need it Monday morning. 10 commandments of public duck hunting. This comes off the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources webpage. It's written and donated to the South Carolina DNR by MD and Julia Carroll Johnson on behalf of young waterfowlers everywhere. Now, I have hunted a lot of public land. We started out, a good friend of mine was at Clemson, and we used to go down to Fance Grove and walk all the way from the parking lot down to the river to shoot a few wood ducks. When I was living in Chester later on, Broad River, I'd go down there and shoot the sloughs along both sides. And at that time, they had a little waterfowl impoundment on the other side, on the Lockhart side of the river. And I've been in a duck club. I have a club now where pretty much I'm the only one that hunts the water we have. So I've kind of been through all of it, you know. So these are some of the rules that not only they're written here, but I've seen them violated out on the water, so to speak. But these are rules to live by when you're a public land hunter. Number one, and they're even phrased like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not shoot another man's swing. Man, is that true. If your neighbor's working a flock that passes over your blind within range, let him go. It's common courtesy, which is, seems to be in short supply these days. But you never know when the neighbor's going to be built like Stone Cold Steve Austin and have a temper like Russell Crowe. Well, that is, if, you know, if somebody in these public waters, especially if you're in a boat, you know, let those birds work. If somebody's good enough to call those birds in and they're working those decoys, let that guy work those birds. You know, he may mess up and they may swing straight over to you without you even having to blow the call. Good one to live by. Number two, thou shalt allow ample space between thyself and others. This one's simple. Unless you're both willing to partner up, give the next guy room. And in most parts of the country, 50 yards isn't considered enough. You know, considering modern non-toxic loads, although I don't agree with it, some people say they're out to 50, 60 yards. So you want to give that guy room enough to shoot his ducks and you room enough to shoot yours. Me, I like my ducks cupped and feet almost wet. You know, I like to make sure that I fool them enough, you know, where I feel like I want it. So give us some room. Don't throw out your decoys and have them intermingle with the guy next to you. Thou shalt know the defective range of thy own fowling piece. They're called skybusters, these pseudo hunters who shoot at anything with an eyesight. You know, that might be all right on the dove field, because a dove, it's really not a dove hunt, it's a dove shoot. And shooting's the, you know, number one goal of being on the dove field. But in the duck marsh or that sort of thing, man, skybusters, rubberheads. There's a great little swamp over here off Highway 101 in Greer. It used to be a really nice place to go. And every once in a while you'd have them show up and just bust everything. And I quit going down there. But it's a really cool little swamp. If everybody listened to these, it'd be a nice place to hunt these days. Normally now I don't go, but maybe late in January after everybody else has given up. But yeah, you know, 30 yards, 40 yards. And what is the old saying? Every pig will find a nut every once in a while. And these skybusters keep shooting 50, 60, 70 yards. And every once in a while, you know, you'll wing one and it'll come down and they all whoop and holler. Wow, what a great shot. No, it's not. It's luck and you ought not be shooting that far to begin with. So number four, thou shalt not blow a duck call nonstop, nor at every bird and beast. Sure, you paid $20 or these days $120 for it, but that doesn't mean you have to get $120 out of it every trip into the field, does it? Remember the immortal words of legendary outdoor writer Nash Buckingham. A duck call in the hands of the unskilled is conservationist's greatest asset. And that's the truth. A lot of people buy duck calls. The best thing they do is leave that thing at home when they go duck hunting. And I'm not a great caller. Trust me. I worked at it hard and I'm still not that good at it. But, you know, I've learned a long time ago to shut up. In fact, the first time I ever went duck hunting out of state, that is, I went to Lake Catahoula in Louisiana. Used to go down there every year. Great hunt. Great time. Got in the blind first morning and I had one of these new acrylic calls. Now this was back in the mid 90s. So had this nice acrylic call, probably paid $20 for it back then, $120 call today. And I hit that thing a couple of times on the first set of birds, and the guide said, "Hey, let me see that call." So this old Louisiana backcountry boy, he didn't say no. I handed it to him. His name was Mark. I handed it to him, and he threw it in the side of the blind and said, "Don't pick that up the rest of the time you're hunting down with me." He gave me an old Jensen or an old Sure Shot wooden call, probably $3 or $4 back then, $5. I think you can buy them $20 now if you can find a used one. I talked to Charlie at Sure Shot at a convention I was at. They are starting to reproduce the old original wood Sure Shots and the old cardboard box again. Those will be hitting the shelves soon. Great call. But he took that call away from me. He says, you know, just because it's a nice polycarbonate call, it doesn't sound good when you blow it. So, you know, sometimes, yeah, practice, and then go hunt without the duck call. Thou shalt set up and tear down quickly and efficiently. In other words, don't putter around through the decoy spreads 5 minutes before shooting time or lollygag in your blocks for an hour just because you have to be back at work at 9 a.m. Uh-oh. Got me. Sometimes I have to get out of there early. But yeah, get in. If you're going to go on public water, get in there early enough. And I know some people, you got to spend the night on some of these islands and these rivers to get a place the first day or whatever. But if you're going to go duck haul, get in there, duck hunt, get in there early enough where you can get your decoy spread up, set in the water, and you're not out there when the birds start flying and ruining everybody else's hunt. Thou shalt clean thy kill neither at the ramp nor in the parking lot. And this is a good one. We as hunters need to realize that a lot of non-consumptive users, bird watchers, photographers, hikers, school groups, use our nation's public areas, and that the image we leave at the ramp or in the parking lot reflects on us as a whole. That's the old tailgate up, tailgate down deer theory that I have. You know, not everybody appreciates it. Put your tailgate up, show your friends and buddies, and that soccer mom riding behind you doesn't even know. Not that you have to hide it, you just don't have to rub their face in it. Number 7, thou shalt be familiar with and abide by waterfowl regulations. Another no-brainer, you would think. Ignorance, says the wildlife officer, is no excuse. However, it can come with a hefty fine. For those of you starting out duck hunting, violations on waterfowl are a state and a federal offense. They can bring those federal wardens in, and it's truck, gun, and fines. Normally not on the first offense, and normally not for things like shooting early, but it can. Number 8, thou shalt know the area boundaries, and though tempted, stay within them. This one's not only a public relations issue, but a legal one as well. It is marked keep out. Well, then keep out. Number 9, thou shalt leave thy temper at home. Think about it. Do you really want to get into a shouting match with a complete stranger that you know has a gun? Enough said. Now, that's one. And that's a lot of times that's with a guy who's already in there, who's already set up, and somebody new comes in blowing through the decoys or setting up 25 yards away. You can be nice about it, but you can let them know how you feel. And then you may have to move yourself. But the other guy's nice enough, he'll be in there early, and you won't have to. Thou shalt work harder than most. Nowhere in the world does the old adage, hard work and perseverance will be rewarded, hold truer than the realm of the public land waterfowler. Do your homework and go that extra 2 miles, and you may have that mallard hole to yourself. And that's true. I know in some of these public waters, the areas that are easy to walk in or get in by boat are covered up, but I have found those little holes, and this is where Google Earth comes in very, very handy. Sometimes it hurts because somebody else finds your spot. Sometimes you find a spot nobody else is taking time to look for. But you can find those little holes in the trees with a little bit of water. Maybe it's only at a high water mark that you can get into and just have a shoot on your own. But duck hunting, it should be hard work. I mean, when you shoot a duck, you should have earned it. So just a few things for you to keep in mind when you're out there on the public waters. If you're in a club or whatever, some of this stuff still applies to you, especially about knowing how far you can shoot, about blowing a duck call, getting things set up, waterfowl regulations, boundaries. Hopefully you're not in a club where you have to leave your temper at home. So anyway, just a few rules to live by. I hope I'm going to have Wade Bourne on. If you know who Wade Bourne is, he's the host of Ducks Unlimited TV. I met him a couple of weeks ago, had some conversations with him. He's got a great article that I was going to cover today, and I said, you know what, I'm going to wait and see if I can't get him on. And the article, I've got it here. Let's see. When silence is golden, in some situations, the silent treatment will help you decoy more ducks. By Wade Warren's The Ducks Unlimited Story. So we'll see if I can't get him on to do that one. I've got one more little article on duck hunting, and then we're going to go on to some current events. So see you on the other side. Jimmy Buffett is not conducive to cold weather. Starting to make me think about Key West or the Bahamas or something instead of staying here and duck hunting. Ah, yeah, duck hunting. Cold weather. And, you know, duck hunting is, in this next article, it's going to talk about this, but duck hunting is so much more fun when it is cold, windy, cloudy, a little bit of rain, sleet, snow, whatever. It just... And I don't know. Like I said, there's that other defective gene I was talking about as far as deer hunters go. What makes us get out in this kind of weather and enjoy it? And I do. I enjoy being out in it. From Ducks Unlimited, how to overcome the weather, battling the elements. From ice and cold to wind and rain, nothing influences a hunt for ducks and geese like the weather. I'm going to skip the snow part. the guy, the pro staffer, Ben Cade, lives in Minnesota. I don't think we have to worry about what he has to say, because we're not, you know, he's talking about how ducks react to different types of snow and that sort of thing. So anyway, we'll skip right over that one. But rain, it's one of my favorite days, is a good rainy cold day. If there is both rain and wind, you can count on a pretty good hunt in the morning, because those birds want to get up and get off those bays and back in the freshwater ponds or in the fields to eat. This is Seth Askvig, who operates and guides at Mud Creek Hunt Club. But if it is a steady downpour, which we get pretty often, then the birds tend to sit tight. If you don't have to have the right gear to handle the rain, it can turn into a miserable experience. And this is where duck hunting will cost you some money. You got to have the waders. You got to have the waterproof coats, the insulation, the decoys, the shotguns, the non-toxic loads, boat if you want to throw that in there. Waiting out the ducks and geese requires dependable waterproof clothing, perhaps even throwing on a pair of waders when hunting in a field situation to provide a barrier from water and mud. I don't do a whole lot of field hunting around here. Most of it's water. Askwood says that the same adjustment should be made for a hunting retriever, too. Even in the field, our dogs will all have vests on to insulate them from the wet and mud. A dog blind or dog stand is also a good thing to use just to give them a chance to get up and out of the mess. A day in the rain can really wear on a dog, and that's the truth. Speaking of dogs, dogs make duck hunting fun. I had my first Labrador retriever after Debbie and I got married was Allie, and she looked like a Belky bear. In early days of my duck hunting experience, I had a camouflage vest for her, and I would go to Walmart and buy cheap brown hair color, because you put that dog in a swamp and it looked like somebody had put the neon white on her. She just glowed in the dark. But Allie was fun. I had her when I started out duck hunting. She had one of those. She was 110 pounds. She was a big dog. No fat, but just a big, stocky dog. I often wondered if I had to bring her out of one of those deep swamps we used to hunt in, which one of us would make it. Luckily, I never had to try. But Allie was a funny dog. Duck club we were in, we did a USDA project where we diked in some areas and all. And, Allie, she liked to retrieve ducks fine. She just decided that at some point, part of those ducks were hers and part of those were yours. So we'd be shooting. It'd be two or three of us in a blind and having a good morning. And, you know, she'd bring one or two back to us. And then she'd start taking one to the bank. One to us. One to the bank. It's like, here's one for you and one for me. Dogs make it. And if you duck hunt, you really need a dog. Your nose and your maneuverability in a swamp is not near enough to get the job done when that duck is not quite ready for the skillet and running from you. So, but yeah, dogs make it fun. Hunting in the rain is just a reality for us. We're probably in it every time out. We know that we either deal with it and adapt or go home early. But if we can find a way to stay out hunting more often than not, we know that we're going to have a pretty good day. Wind. Whether targeting birds over water in a field, wind is an essential component of any waterfowl hunt and arguably the single most important factor in decoying birds directly in the blocks. That's Avery Pro Staffer Martin Hesby. But dealing with days of little to no wind is inevitable, he says, even in his blustery home state of South Dakota. Now, there's a hunting app out there called Hunt Stand. It's developed by Terra Stride, which is based right here in Columbia, South Carolina. We had them on the show last spring, talking about their app. And it's really a deer hunting app, but there's one little function on there, and I'll get mine out on my phone, that will benefit the duck hunter. And Hunt Stand, the big draw to Hunt Stand is it's got a wind cone. In other words, you can go in here and set up five different places where you hunt, and it will show you where your scent, if you're deer hunting, is going to be blowing. So you can keep your downwind side, either hunt a different stand or, you know, make sure you don't smell. But it's got a land zone function on here, which is the reverse. It shows you where your blind is, where the wind is blowing from, and how you want to set up for the ducks because ducks land into the wind. It's a free app. It's Hunt Stand by Terra Stride. Just a neat little thing. My brother and I were talking the other day how much we've enjoyed using these this year. We're not technologically advanced by any means of the stretch of the imagination when it comes to hunting, but this has been a really good little app for us to use this year. The kiss of death for a waterfowl hunter is when the weather forecast says light and variable winds. When I hear this, I move to other options if I have them. He said, in what is probably going to be a rather frustrating hunt, it's usually best just to haul it off until better conditions present themselves. Now, you might not always have that option, but if you do, you know, find a day that's nasty. Go duck hunt. Hesby isn't sure if there's such a thing as too much wind, believing that waterfowl hunters would take extreme winds over the opposite end of the spectrum most any day. But he adds that steady, strong winds present their own challenges. Heavy winds could wreak havoc on a decoy spread. That's true if you get those stand-up field-type decoys. Haven't had that trouble in the water except for them blowing away. Or the, you know, the osprey or whatever that decides one of your duck decoys looks real and decides to drop in and take it off. Getting birds to decoys off of the challenge, too. You'll have ducks or geese setting up and looking great, but a big wind can cause them to hang up and take forever to finish. And that's when they get a really good long look at your setup. So concealment becomes even more of a priority. If they do hit the decoys, they have the ability to get out of town quickly. That means your first shot might be a bird's up close. Your second and third shots, maybe not better not take them because those birds are going to be out of there in a hurry. He says one of the ways to adjust his shot size from four to twos on ducks and twos to BBs for geese, staying smart about what shots to take is also important. You know, that's true. If you're hunting water, high winds can be dangerous, especially if you're in a boat. I think we all know that. And then he goes through stale weather patterns. You know, when you get into that, at some point every year, it seems we find ourselves in a pattern of warm, balmy weather, and the duck hunting really slows down. Day after day of the same stuff, the hunting can get really tough. And this is usually what happens to us. You might have a small push of birds around Thanksgiving, and the weather just shuts off. And by Christmas, you're hunting the same birds for several weeks, and they're extremely difficult to decoy. You know, maybe you want to mix up your decoy spreads, maybe smaller, none at all, create motion by jerk strings or kicking the water, and knowing how to call. All good things. So duck season is just around the corner. Final closing. You have to work with what you get, he says. These are those days when things don't come together, but when they do, the success tastes that much sweeter. So I got some more duck stories, more duck articles, but I think that's enough for one day. Got some other things to move on to in the final few minutes here. A couple polls. You know, we had an election a few weeks ago. Maybe now the Senate will at least vote on something. There are a couple of polls that Gallup took as people came and voted. And they're pretty interesting. A new Gallup poll shows that nearly two-thirds of Americans agree that a gun makes the home safer rather than more dangerous. The figure is nearly double the percentage of those who said a gun makes the home safer in 2000. Real quickly, a record high 63% of those polled said a gun makes the home safer. When the responses were divided along political party affiliations, 81% of Republicans, 64% of Independents, and 41% of Democrats say that a gun makes a home safer. Another interesting aspect of this newly released poll is that a clear majority of women believe a gun in the home makes the home safer as well. 58% of women said a gun makes the home safer versus 34% who say it makes it more dangerous. Pretty good. Second poll. This one released about the same time. Says that support for gun control has fallen by 15% since 2000, but support for the repeal of current gun control laws has risen by 9%. To keep up with politics at all, California, Illinois, two of the holdouts, Supreme Court rulings that says you have to allow concealed carry. And they're not at all happy about that. But these figures, 62% of Americans supported more gun control in 2000. That figure is 47% today. Over the same time, support for repealing gun control has risen from 5% in 2000 to 14% in 2014. A third contingent of the poll, people who believe we have enough gun laws already, has risen. That group went from 31% in 2000 to 38% now. So, good news for gun owners nationwide. I won't talk about Christmas much. But in connection with Christmas, I know we're already starting to get bombarded with sales and that sort of thing. And I hesitate whether to do this, but I've had this story. I've been sitting on it for a while. Florida man allegedly smothered crying son to play video games. Now, he's 24 years old, 16-month-old son, because the guy wanted to play video games. And the only reason I bring this up, Christmas is coming. A lot of electronics out there, I know. I wish there weren't as many. You see things like we need more tackle boxes and less Xboxes, and I hunt with my kids so I don't have to hunt my kids and that sort of thing. But, you know, I say this just to say, I'm sure when this guy's parents, at whatever age he started playing video games and all, and I don't know what he was playing. It really doesn't matter. He was playing Xbox. You know, I'm sure his parents didn't say, we're going to read about him in the news, that he wanted to play his video game so much that he would, you know, be guilty of killing his own son. So just, you know, video games, hey, they have their place, I guess. Just two things. Be aware when you buy them what you're buying. And the second thing is be aware how much they're being played, because they do have an effect. Can't deny it. I think it's pretty well recognized. But anyway, hate to have that kind of story on this show, but it's something to think about. It just is. I'm sure when he started playing them, he never would have thought they'd have taken that much hold on him. Now, let's get back to fun stuff. Chuck Norris, and this is for all your deer hunters out there who have a problem. Chuck Norris really doesn't have good aim. His bullets just know better than to miss. And I ran across, here's a Christmas gun. I ran across another Christmas video of Chuck Norris that I put on the Facebook page. Go see it. I hope it'll make you chuckle. Dave's in there nodding his head. It's pretty good. Chuck Norris puts, Jean-Claude Van Damme in his place or something like that. It's pretty good. I am going down to the coast to eat some oysters and talk fly fishing at the Grand. I can't say reopening because they never closed. So it's more like of a Grand move location. Is now ready to show off the new place at Low Country Fly Shop. That's at 626 Coleman Boulevard at Moultrie Square. That's down the road from Shim Creek Boat Landing. If you don't have any plans tomorrow, come on down, take a look at the best place for fly fishermen South Carolina has to offer. Southern Culture on the Fly, the guy from the Fiberglass Manifesto is going to be there. Paul Puckett of Flood Tide Company will be there. Lots of others hanging around. That's from 10 to 4 tomorrow. Wow. Time's getting away from me. I taped the fifth Saturday cooking show. It's chili this time with Matt Luss from the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off. That'll air on the 29th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. It's a good one. Matt brought me a few of his own recipes. I'll be posting for you to try on the Facebook and website. Go take a look at the coyote picture on the website and the Facebook. I think he's got a lot of red wolf in him. There's James in the background. Another Saturday's over with. Yes, it's going to be cold for a while, but that just means you need to layer up before you go outside. However, be careful when you get out there and make those memories today. Don't forget the camera. I'll see you next week. In my mind.